Thank you for joining us today. For more information about our service times, visit okoegt.com. Also, stay in touch with us on social media by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram at okoegt. Now let's prepare our hearts as we go into the message.
Amen. Are you ready for the word? Hey, take your Bible out and hold it high in the air, whether it's in book form or digital form. I want you to say this after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I am what it says I am, and I will do what it says for me to do. I place myself under the authority of God's word. It says I am blessed, therefore I am blessed. It says I am an overcomer, therefore I overcome every obstacle, every challenge, and every hindrance through the name above every name, Jesus Christ. I open my heart and I open my mind to receive God's word. I receive this word and I confess this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now take that same Bible and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. And today we begin a brand new sermon series which deals with discipleship and is titled Ready, Set, Grow. And the concept is this: we are ready to grow, we are ready to move forward, and we are ready to experience the fullness of Christ. And our foundational passage for today's sermon and also for our series is found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 13 and we'll read out of the New Living Translation. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we're out of our minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. Now, he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ. Notice our purpose has now changed. We will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Can you say amen? We have become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. You know, in a world filled with constant setbacks and challenges, I believe there's a profound yearning for renewal, for growth and transformation. And the journey of faith often begins with a single step towards embracing new beginnings, shedding old ways, and stepping into God's promise of a fresh start. How many are thankful for a fresh start in him? And as we embark on this transformative journey together, guided by God's word, we are reminded of the foundational truth that in Christ we are made new. Over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about blossoming into God's design and we're going to speak about overcoming hindrances to growth. And then we'll close out the series with nurturing healthy growth. But today we're going to speak about new beginnings. Now, I don't know about you, but I am thankful for new beginnings. And our passage speaks about the new beginning that we have in Christ at salvation, but also the new beginning that we have in him today. I'm thankful for the new day that we have in Christ every morning. And I'm glad that we can embrace his mercies, which are new every day. In the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah discovered this about God. He wrote it in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22. He says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that his mercies are new every morning. Now imagine with me a canvas stretched out before you. It is blank yet pregnant with possibilities. Each stroke of God's brush paints a narrative. It's a narrative of redemption. It's a narrative of restoration. It's a narrative of newness. And as we delve into the depths of this sermon, we embark on a journey of self-discovery. And we make a decision to shed the garments of the past and to put on the garments of promise. Hope fills the air as we embrace the dawn of a fresh chapter, ready to script our stories in harmony with God's will, the divine author. With bated breath and hearts attuned to the rhythm of eternity, we heed the call to new beginnings. It's like a phoenix rising from the ashes. May our spirit soar on the wings of faith, transcending limitations and fears. And today, we embark on a season of growth. We embark on a season of reflection and of stepping into the fullness of God's design for each of us. So I want to challenge us. Let's do this thing. Ready, set, grow. Welcome to new beginnings. Whether you are new to the things of God or you have been in Christ for a long time, I want to challenge us to embrace discipleship and growth like never before. Let's allow God to redefine our past. Let God redefine our setbacks and let us embark on this journey of new beginnings in Him. You know, have you ever noticed that in our society we have a tendency to throw away things that are broken? Do you know what God does? He often takes the broken pieces and he does something amazing. My life is a testimony of this. Many of you here today have that same testimony of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. It reminds me of a Japanese form of art called kintsugi. And it's translated golden repair in English. And kintsugi is a traditional Japanese art of repairing broken pottery by using lacquer mixed with gold, silver, and platinum to mend the areas of breakage. And rather than disguising or hiding the cracks, kintsugi celebrates the imperfections. And it highlights them with precious metals, turning what was once broken into a new piece of art filled with history, filled with resilience and beauty. And I submit to you that is exactly what God has done and is doing for you and I. In the church, we call this testimony. We can testify to God's goodness. We can testify that he doesn't throw away broken things. We can testify that he will interpret those things and interweave those things into his divine calling and a part of our story. And he will use our story of redemption to encourage those who themselves are struggling, because God does not discard broken things. There are new beginnings in Christ Jesus. Can somebody give God praise? And I believe this is what God does with us at salvation. I believe this is what God does with us in our journey of salvation. He takes all the ups and the downs, and instead of hiding the imperfections, he redefines them. He repurposes them, and he restores them. Will you allow God to restore those areas in your life? You received your notes when you came in. Take out your notes and notice the first thing we want to talk about. Write this: embracing change. And our main thought is this: exploring the power of change and transition and how it can lead to personal growth. Our passage in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. We are new in Christ Jesus. I want to take a moment and read this passage out of the Message translation. Now, we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Oh, I like that old word. You don't hear it often. It burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. And God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. God is reconciling. God is forgiving. God is creating something new in your life. Write this under a new life burgeons. Now that's a word you don't hear very often. It's an old English word, and it means to grow. It means to increase rapidly. It means to flourish. I think of this word, I think of what Christ came to do. Christ said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I came that your life might flourish. I came that your life might overflow with the blessings of the Lord. See, I think we need to exercise this verse every day. I think that we need to say to ourselves, I have become a new person and I am growing. I am changing into a new creation, the person God intends me to be. See, often we're overwhelmed by life. Maybe you walk through these doors today just stressed out, maybe overcome by what you're walking through. And the enemy does his best to attack our identity. And sometimes we forget the progress that God is making in us. Or maybe you came today and you feel like, man, I blew it this week. I'm here to tell you there is a fresh start, a new beginning in the Lord. Every day you need to remind yourself, tell yourself, I have become a new person in Christ and I am growing. The old has passed away. The old life, the old person, the person of yesterday, and now I have a fresh start. Now we have to embrace this fresh start. The old has passed and the new has begun, and our life is hidden in Christ Jesus. I want to take you to a passage that declares this. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 3. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. One translation says, your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. Christ is now your life. You've been taken out of the world. A new life has started. You are created new in Christ. Now Christ is your world. So let me challenge you. Study his life. Seek to emulate his life. You died to the old. You are made new in Christ. So seek to follow his life. See, this change leads to growth. Keep in that same chapter in Colossians 3, look at verse 5. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. And I love how the New Living Translation uses that phrase, lurking within you, like they're hiding. Because that's the way the old man is, right? I mean, you're doing good, everything's well. I mean, you had a great time at church, Miss McKenzie. Boy, she led you in worship, and you on cloud nine. You heard a challenging word. Monday's great, Tuesday great, Wednesday's doing pretty good, but Thursday, man, somebody done made you upset. And suddenly some things came out of your mouth that you thought, oh my God, where did that come from? Guess what? The old man is lurking, trying to get a stronghold back in your life. But you have to reckon yourself dead to the old. You have to realize that your life is hidden with Christ. So he says, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Look at verse 6. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other. For you have stopped or stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, notice verse 11, in this new life, Christ is all that matters. He lives in all of us. We have to get this in our heart. The only thing that matters in this new life is Jesus. So follow Jesus. Study His life. Break with the past. Change the things that we used to do. Seek to grow. Grow in likeness of Christ. Grow in character of Christ. And grow with the attitude of Christ. What we have to see is ourselves. No longer a part of that world. Now we're a part of Christ. It's a new beginning. It's a fresh start. Ready, set, grow. New beginnings has to do with embracing change. And secondly, with renewing your mind. Notice in your notes under main thought, understanding the importance of a mindset shift in starting afresh. In new beginnings, you have to have a mindset shift. You have to understand that you are on a new path. Therefore, this new path requires us to do something different. You have to put on that new nature. Go back to Colossians 3, verse 10, just for a moment. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Be renewed. In the original language, the word means to be or become reestablished in a like new manner. He's fixing you up. He's changing you. He's restoring you to like new. Like God intended you to be. That brokenness is being stripped away from you, and He's redefining it, repurposing it, and He's going to do something great for you and in you. Embrace it. Embrace that change by allowing God to change the way you think. A mindset shift. So how do we do this? Notice verse 10, as you know your Creator and you become like Him. Bruce Barton in his commentary writes this, this new self is being renewed in knowledge. Every Christian is in a continuing education program. You thought you were finished with continuing education, but no. The moment you stepped into the church, the moment you stepped into the realm of the kingdom of God, there's a continuing education that's taking place in your life because you have to get out the old and you got to put the new in. Can somebody say amen? See, renewal is constantly needed in the believer's battle against sin and the old self. Notice the knowledge referred to here is personal knowledge of Christ. And the goal of this knowledge is Christ-likeness. So the more believers know of Christ, the more they know of His work, and the more they are being changed to be like Him. See, your life is Christ now, so you got to study Him. You got to know Him. You got to learn of him. So as you pursue this Christ-likeness, God is changing some things. And because this process is lifelong, we must never stop learning and obeying. And I think this is the challenge with a lot of us. We like to coast. I was riding the bike yesterday. Now, it's not a real bike. Let me clarify. It's not a real bike because they call it an e-bike. It's got a little motor on it. But I'll tell you my favorite part of the e-bike is that it has a throttle that when you get tired, you just hit that thing and you can take off. But my second favorite part of riding the bike is this, when you're going downhill, because you can coast. But sometimes we look at that in life and we want to coast. Let me challenge you. Don't settle for coasting. Pursue God's presence. Pursue intimate knowledge with him. Read the word of God. Study the life of Jesus. Because remember, you're no longer of the world. A new start, a new beginning has taken place. Today's a new day. So you study the life of Jesus. And as you study the life of Jesus, you fall in love with him. And suddenly you become to look more like him. It takes practice. It takes ongoing review. That means evaluation. Now, sometimes we don't like evaluation because at work they evaluate us, and sometimes it's not very pleasant. But the reason there's evaluation is not to criticize. The reason there's evaluation is so you can identify strengths and weaknesses so that you can work on your weaknesses and invest in your strengths to become better, to become more proficient. Well, we have to evaluate where we are in Christ. And this is important that we learn to do this on an individual basis, that we take time to be in the presence of God and sometimes just be quiet in the presence. Sometimes our nervousness comes out in our communion with God because we're always talking. Sometimes you got to listen. Did you know the Holy Spirit will talk to you? The Holy Spirit will reveal himself to you. Sometimes you just got to read a passage of scripture and just sit there and let that passage begin to speak to you. Let that word begin to speak to you, because I promise you he'll deal with the drama in your life. Come on. We got some drama-filled Christians sometimes. Let me tell you what a drama-filled Christian is. They're a Christian that are starving themselves of the word of God. Because when you get the word in you, what happens is he deals with that old stuff. He deals with that emotion. He brings healthiness. Oh, I'm preaching. I'm pastoring right now. Some of you want a preacher, but you don't want a pastor. Let me tell you what a pastor will do. A pastor will talk into your life. A pastor will speak to you. A pastor will correct you because he loves you. A pastor will say, God's got something better for you, and you got to let the word of God do something in you. Now, you remember that when I call you this week and say, let's have a conversation. I felt the Holy Ghost. You know that's funny. I'm going to say, I saw you raise your hand. I saw you shouting. Don't make me bring up live stream. I don't know why I'm going down this rabbit hole, but the Holy Ghost said do it. It's a new way of thinking. A new way of thinking. Let me give you a powerful verse. You need to memorize this verse. You need to commit this to meditation. You need to read it often. It's two verses, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable, your reasonable service unto the Lord. Reasonable meaning, look what he's done for you. Surely you can live your life for him. Now, the next verse, I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation, verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. Look at your neighbor and say, let God. Let Let God change you. Now talk to yourself. Say, self, let God change you. Sometimes you just got to talk to the old man and say, you're not in charge. The new man is in charge. I'm going to talk to myself and say, I'm going to let God change me, transform me. Because I promise you what God has is much better than what I have or you can do. I promise you that what God has intended for you to be and what God's intended for you to do is much bigger, much greater than you ever dreamed of. Why do you want to keep living in the brokenness when he's offering you something beautiful, something great, something glorious? He's offered you his son to live in him. There's freedom in Christ. There's freedom in him. There's victory in Christ Jesus. There's a new beginning in Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to shout to the Lord. He's transformed you. He's changed you. It's a new beginning, and today's a new day. A new day. A new day to move forward, a new day to grow in Christ, a new day to put on our new nature. Ready, set, grow. New beginnings has to do with embracing change. It also has to do with renewing your mind. And then you got to start doing something. You got to start planting seeds. In your notes under the main thought, write this. Sow seeds of positivity for a fruitful journey ahead. In the agricultural setting, in order for things to grow, you have to sow. You have to put something in the ground. This new beginning toward discipleship means that we are now sowing in faith. And you want to talk about faith, you cannot talk about faith without reading Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the chapter of faith. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Moses refused to be called a son of Pharaoh. Rather, he identified with the afflictions of the Israelites because he knew where he came from. By faith, David slew Goliath. By faith, kingdoms were brought down. By faith, kingdoms were established. By faith. So in faith, this new beginning towards discipleship means we're sowing now in faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it's a great verse. He writes this: it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe first that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. That's what faith is. You know why? Hey, there's a God in heaven. He exists. And he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now, often you've heard that verse just taken alone. But if you look at the previous verse, the subject is he's referring to Enoch, who had fellowship with God, who walked with God, and then was taken away because he was a man of faith. So let's look at the context found in Genesis 5, verse 21. Genesis 5, 21, it says, when Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. We know Methuselah, the oldest man to ever live. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. Notice that, close fellowship with God. And he had other sons and daughters. Verse 23, Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day, he disappeared. God took him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For first, you got to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him. The object of faith is God. He exists to be sought after and to be in communion with. Enoch lived in close fellowship with God. And this is what a life of faith is all about, walking in close fellowship with God. Faith says, as I seek God, he rewards those who sincerely seek him. In other words, it's not just a one-sided pursuit. No, God is actively pursuing us, rewarding us with himself, his presence. And how many know that his presence changes everything? Amen. See, as we live out this faith, we're communing with the living God. He speaks to us. He embraces us. He guides us. He protects us. He rewards us. Keep sowing seeds in faith. Your life will turn around. Keep sowing seeds in faith. Your faith will grow. Your life will change. Good things will happen because God rewards those who sincerely seek him. Taking another analogy from this agricultural setting, write the word water. It takes water for seeds to grow. Watering the seeds of faith is done by prayer. And I love Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Yeah. He starts off with a negative because he knows the tendency of man's heart to worry. To worry about everything. He says, don't worry. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, God's shalom, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Yes. So notice the prescription here. Pray about everything. Talks about fellowship. Talks about relationship. Everything encompasses every detail of your life. Tell God what you need. Speaks about intimacy. Yeah. Some people say, well, I don't need to tell God because he's omniscient. He knows everything already. Well, that's true. But let me tell you, when you tell him about everything, it speaks of communion. It speaks of walking with God. Yeah. It speaks of talking with him. It speaks of doing life with him. And then thank him for all he has done. In other words, stop and think about what he has already done in your life. The miracles you have already seen. And then the peace of God will come upon you. God's shalom. Faith tells us that there's going to be a harvest. See, we're going to do things different because today's a new beginning. Today's a fresh start. God's called us to discipleship. We're embracing change. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to change the way we think, and we're going to start planting seeds in faith. God, I'm going to keep showing up because I'm believing you for that breakthrough. I've been struggling, God, but I'm not going to give into that struggle. I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to keep bringing my brokenness because you're going to fill it with gold. You're going to fill it with your touch. And God, you're just writing my story. Don't let the enemy beat you up. Don't let the enemy destroy you. Don't let the enemy get you to quit. You keep standing up. You keep believing. You keep trusting. Today's a new beginning. Today's a fresh start. Today, God's going to do something great. He's repurposing your life. He's redefining some things. It's a story of restoration. Can I tell you the story of mankind is a story of restoration. You're in great company. God is working and moving in your life. Embrace this new beginning. Look for the harvest. Galatians 6:9 says, so let us not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. God's time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. How many people have stopped? How many people have given up right before the breakthrough came? You say, well, Pastor, I'm tired. My heart is broken. I empathize. I understand. But now's not the time to stop. Now's the time to get up. Well, Pastor, you don't know those those thoughts, those self-condemning thoughts, we all have them. We all have them, brother. We all have them, sister. Get up. Pastor, you don't know. You don't know what my life used to be. You don't know what my past is. You don't know what other people say about me. I only care what God says about you. I only care what God wants to do. He's a God of restoration. He's a God of hope. He's a God that will repurpose your life. He's a God that will bring a story of redemption, and he'll use you for his kingdom. He's a God that'll turn some things around in your life, but you can't stop. You gotta keep believing. Today is a new day. Let's worship the King. We respond to the teaching and the preaching of God's word. As we respond, I believe breakthrough begins to happen. As we respond, I believe he begins to redefine our past. So as GT worship continues to lead us, I'm going to invite you to step back from where you are and come down front. Let's worship the King. Let's press in. Let's let the Holy Spirit touch us. Let's let the Holy Spirit